Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
In confidence?
Yes.
Does it bother you that people only started liking this show when we added V&A?
Greatly.
Tepid Step, your premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and TexasFootball.com. I am the Tep Greg Tepper.
I'm your high school football first responder, Matt Stepp.
Thank you for your courage.
Thank you. Thank you.
We do thank you for your courage for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber or watching this for free, which
you have less courage.
Which requires significantly less courage than spending money on content. Yes. Right? That's the courage.
Supporting local media.
Exactly right. We are local. We're local to the entire state of Texas.
We are, because I was in San Antonio on Saturday.
Absolutely.
And I was in the Rio Grande Valley the week before.
I'll be
in East Texas on Thursday.
You are a first responder.
I am. You know what? I was at Heroes Stadium in San Antonio on Saturday. And ironically, I was at Heroes Stadium. And, you know, there are, you know, obviously the firefighters and,
sure, of course,
and
yes,
the military.
And the troops.
The troops.
The troops. I mean, we love the troops.
Of course. But, you know, I felt like a hero myself because I'm a high school football first responder.
I felt like a hero.
I thought it was poignant that I was at Heroes Stadium on Saturday. It's the most ridiculous thing ever as I'm walking around in a backwards cap talking to coaches.
One of the...
Whatever.
another person who is decidedly a hero.
Uh-huh.
Is our producer, V&A Moreno. Hi, V&A Moreno. And your Cowboys shirt.
A heroine. Yeah, how about the Cowboys, yeah.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah. Have you heard the latest stat?
No, what's the latest stat, Matthew?
That the Dallas Cowboys are 3-0 when WTF does not attend their football game.
Wow. Wow. Really makes you think. It really makes you think.
It does.
Maybe
it's WTF's fault that they lost those two home games.
This is your week 7
Love you, Pickle.
Preview edition of Tep and Step. We do thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. Coming up here in just a moment, Matt Stepp and I will sift through the wreckage of week 6 of the Texas high school football season.
It was supposed to be a bye week, kind of quiet.
And
no big deal.
And then hell broke loose.
NBD, just kind of chilling. Yeah.
Do the kids still say that?
I don't know. Do they still say it?
Still say
V&A is younger than us. So.
Yeah, V&A, you're young.
Do they say NBD?
NBD?
No big deal.
No big deal?
Yeah.
We say MBN. Must be nice.
Okay, yeah.
Must be nice.
Yeah, okay.
We're young and hip.
We are. We're a very young and hip show. Yeah, clearly.
And then we'll have our week 7 game draft. But first, Matthew, we will start, as we always do, with your Texas high school football fun fact of the week presented... by Community Coffee.
Mm-mm.
Community Coffee, who definitely appreciates the tradition here of me pulling
it's up bold
their
and refreshing,
read
I know that.
As I do. Community Coffee supports and celebrates the thriving communities at the heart of Texas high school football. Community Coffee, strong as our roots. Discover more at communitycoffee.com.
If Community Coffee had a pumpkin spice, would you try it? Or would you just send it to Riley Dodge?
I bet they do.
They have like a pumpkin.
They've got to send it to Riley Dodge.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we got to do. Yeah. You know the story about Riley Dodge and pumpkin spice, right, V&A?
Nope, I do not.
Years ago at a coaching school, we pulled him aside for an interview, the head coach of the Southlake Carroll Dragons.
And we were just throwing, it was off season, so we were throwing random questions out, you know, pancakes or waffles.
And it's like, how do you take your coffee? And he got this like wry smile on his face, and he goes, it's like a lot of cream, a lot of sugar, a couple pumps of pumpkin spice.
And he's kind of very sheepish about it. Clearly, he gets made fun of in the field house.
Yeah,
he gets his
bougie coffee.
Yeah.
Anyway, Matt Stepp, your Texas high school football fun fact.
Shout out, Coach Dodge.
Yes, your Texas high school football fun fact of the week. Matt Stepp, now that Humble Summer Creek has given up 42 points on the season.
What are they even doing over there?
Coming into last week, they were allowing an average of 0 points per game.
Mm-hmm. It's a bold strategy to shut everyone out.
They are no longer the state's leader in scoring defense. Matt Stepp,
who's
the UIL 11-man defensive scoring defense leader?
Ooh, this is good. This is a good one.
Thanks, man.
I like it.
Thanks. I like it a lot too.
Yeah.
Let me see. I will tell you this. They're, well, this is probably not surprising. They're undefeated.
I was going through that. Going through my undefeated teams.
Undefeated. Maybe I'm going to give you another hint.
Okay.
Not ranked.
Really?
An unranked 5A team. Oh, no, not 5A. An unranked 5-0 team, I should say. They're not 5A.
Okay. Unranked.
Do you want classification?
Yeah, give me classification.
2A Division 1.
D1.
I could give you a mascot, which won't help at all.
No, the Eagles, yeah. yeah, it's super helpful. 2A, no, it's not Lubbock. I was gonna say Lubbock Roosevelt, but they're 3A D2. So yeah, I'm gonna take the L here.
Matt Stepp,
you've been bringing the heat this season.
Allowing
you've been bringing some
just
good ones.
5 points per game, 25 points in their first five games. The Eagles of Mildred High School are the
mighty Mildred
leading defender
just outside of Corsicana.
Corsicana Mildred is 5-0. Took an open date last week. They have they gave up 12 points to Clarksville. Now I do not. I will say this: they are unranked. They're undefeated. I am not super sure they've played the world's toughest schedule.
Sure, yeah.
Iola, Rice, Blooming Grove, Clarksville, and Moody have a combined 5 wins on the season, but you can only play who you're lined up against. Yeah. And by the way, look at their district and tell me who they're losing to. Like, you're sure they're losing to. Like, Kearns is probably the second best
team. Are they in there with Frankston?
They're in there with Frankston. They actually play Frankston this week.
Yeah, I would say
Is
Itley in that district?
No.
No, okay, so
no, their district is Frankston, Cayuga, Kearns, Price Carlisle, and Crossroads.
I think other than Frankston, I think Mildred could win the. I mean, Kearns is kind of the toss-up
game. Yeah, Kearns is the toss-up game. But yeah,
anyway. Local, you know, kind of very. Kearns and Mildred are very close to each other.
There it is. Your Texas High School Football Fun Fact of the Week. Thanks, Community Coffee. Love you.
Thank you, Community Coffee.
Love you. All right, Matthew. Week 6 of the Texas High School football season came and went. Mm-hmm. It's funny because, like, all week we were talking about, like, it's an open date, big open date for a lot of teams. But there are two big, gigantic games that we are paying attention to.
One in Dallas, one in Houston. Yeah.
And they both...
DFW, not Dallas. DFW.
Both, in their own separate, like, different way, lived up to the hype.
Yeah, yeah. We'll start in Houston. Mm-hmm. The Atascocita-Summer Creek game is one of the more wild games I've ever watched because...
I saw on Twitter it was the game of the year.
So I was at my game Friday night and I had my tablet up watching Texan Live. And I keep looking up and Atascocita is breaking a long touchdown. Like they just big play
every
after
time.
Big play.
Every time.
And they're up 35-7 at halftime. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I'm going to switch over to Alito and Denton Ryan. I switched and then I start looking on Twitter and people that are at the game are going
it's a 2-score game, yeah.
I flip back at 35-24 and at that point momentum was clearly with Summer Creek. They had clearly made some defensive adjustments. It wasn't like they struggled moving the football in the first half. They just couldn't finish drives.
They couldn't finish drives. Yeah.
And they started finishing drives and it turned out to be a banger. I think it was this crazy, the tale of two halves in that game. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I think you have to give credit to both teams in this scenario, Summer Creek for coming back, and then Atascocita for taking that punch and then having enough left in the tank to go down and get the game-winning mm-hmm. touchdown drive. A lot of drama, great football game, great crowd. It was like an awesome atmosphere. It's really one of the best things about Texas. That's you could take an outsider to a Texas high school football game, that might have been the game to take him to.
I came away really impressed with both quarterbacks. Blake Thomas really good. Blake Thomas has made that step. Like you are exactly right last week when you said you're like he's just gotten a lot better and he is. He is more of a true complete quarterback now as opposed to like last year he was like
he was an athlete that they stuck
he was a runner and a thrower, not a passer. You know what I mean? Now it's like no, he can do it all. I came away impressed with that. And then Cardae Mack, an assassin, man. Like that last drive.
And then He can throw his deep ball. You know, I've watched a couple of Atascocita games. He can throw the deep ball. Mm-hmm. You know, he may not be a natural quarterback and maybe not a guy who can make every throw. You know, he can't every throw, you know, the across the hash field to the sideline, fitting in small windows. But when it comes to a deep ball, he's got one of the best deep balls. And he can put that thing on the money. And then his receivers, Chris Tony and those guys, can go get it.
It was really just a joy to watch that game. Yeah. It was a joy to watch that game. And I'll say this, I think both those teams are going to give North Shore some trouble.
Yeah. Like, I mean, they gave North Shore trouble last year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, now and we'll talk about who's better and who's worse than last year. I think all three of those teams are better than they were last year.
I agree.
So we'll talk about a game that where maybe the two teams aren't as good as last year, but those three, I think all three are better. So it's going to be interesting.
The other game, Aledo and Denton Ryan. Mm-hmm. And Denton Ryan jumps out to a 27-8 lead.
Mm-hmm. Old momentum was...
And then Aledo promptly returns the next kickoff for a touchdown. And all I'm thinking in my head is like, I know exactly how this is going. Yeah. Like, that is the kind of thing that Aledo does. Like, the reason they haven't lost in 123 consecutive district games is that to beat them, and not just in district games, really any game, to beat Aledo, you have to just keep throwing punches.
Yeah, you have to just bludgeon them to death.
You have to bury them.
I think Denton Ryan got a little bit of a case of lemon booty. Mm-hmm. It was some serious. They went, I know V&A is like, what is lemon booty?
It was 27-8. Write that down, V&A.
Yes.
Try to get down.
27-8. Mm-hmm. They were. I think they went kickoff return, stop, and score. And it's like, I'm like,
yeah, it's over.
This is the script.
The Aledo adjustments in the second half, Denton Ryan could not move the ball in the second half. They couldn't get first downs. Credit to Aledo. They made some defensive, they cleaned some things up defensively. Ryan didn't have a counterpunch.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the moment got to Denton Ryan a little bit on the road in a hostile environment. You know, that Aledo crowd, when it got to be 27-8, you probably, you know, heard some murmuring and some people going, okay, we're going to, you know, early third quarter, we're going to get out of here, beat the traffic, you know, that kind of thing. And then they return that kickoff and you could just feel this from watching the game on. And I didn't have the volume up because I was in a press box, but I literally flipped over right before Denton Ryan's last touchdown. When Aledo scored that touchdown, you could just see the energy on Alito's side just amped up, and you could just feel momentum. And Denton Ryan, I just didn't have an answer. So it's a learning experience for Denton Ryan. This isn't going to make or break them.
No. And it might be the first of two meetings.
It's very disappointing for sure because they had a chance to really make a statement, but – like if they meet again, I think Denton Ryan's got to take what happened and learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll be on a neutral site, so you won't have that. But I just think the moment got to Denton Ryan a little bit.
Okay, you know? So the only thing I want to do here is I want to look over our rankings, expertly crafted by the Dave Campbell's Texas football staff.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to look at the teams that dropped out of the rankings.
Sure.
And I want to get your, like, what alarm are we? Like, is this a 10 alarm? Like, oh no, this is bad news. Is this a zero alarm? They had to drop because of it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sy Springs, they lose to Bridgeland and they drop out of the 6A rankings.
I'd say six alarm. Mm-hmm. You know, offense struggled. Bridgeland's got a good defense, but they're not a lockdown defense.
Bridgeland didn't score an offensive point.
Yeah. So, little concern there. Sy Springs is, I think this is still Sy Springs growing as a program. Did I kick something? V&A, am
You're
I still good?
Okay. You're good.
Sy Springs, I think, is still learning, growing as a pro. Bridgeland's been in these games before. You could see it. Always a lot of churn in 6A.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to after about team, 6A has a lot of depth. From you get to 15 to 50, and the teams are fairly evenly matched. So you're always going to get some turnover in that bottom part of the ranking. So a little concerned about the offense. So just not scoring until the very end of the game was a little bit concerning for Sy Springs.
Port Arthur Memorial.
I thought they'd lose on the road at Galveston Ball. I picked Galveston Ball to win the game.
Let me tell you, dude.
Did not think they would get drilled.
I think I love Galveston Ball.
They got the juice. They're a borderline contender. In Region 3, we're going to talk about Weiss, A&M Consolidated, College Station, maybe even Angleton. You better start talking about Galveston Ball. That was a statement.
To me, that game says more about Galveston Ball than does Memorial. So.
Yeah, Memorial will throw a stinker out at you. Let's see how Memorial's got a tough game this week against Barbers Hill. See if they bounce back. If they bounce back, then I'll credit to maybe they went on the road and they kind of got avalanched a little bit. Because they played Hightower really tough earlier in the year, took them to overtime. So there is concern about Memorial just because now you still got to play Lufkin, you got to play Barbers Hill. You know, that playoff, yeah, the first round they should win just because of where they're matched up, but then the bracket gets tougher after that.
Huntsville. I'm telling you, Jeff Joseph keeps beating the allegations. It is
so
incredible.
This was the other game that I was watching on my laptop.
To be clear, that's
between
a, that's
plays.
A, a turn of phrase. Yeah. He's not accused of anything, but he just continues to win close games.
Here's the difference. Those two teams are very you can make an argument Huntsville probably should have won that game. Mm-hmm. They very easily could have won the game, but Huntsville, this is PNG. This is where these two programs are right now. PNG has been there, done that. Huntsville's learning. Mm-hmm. Huntsville did not make winning plays in the margins to win that football game. Let me give you a little scenario here. It's 7-7 late first half. Huntsville picks off a pass. Stops a PNG drive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Roughing the passer.
Mm.
PNG gets that first down. They go down and score a touchdown, 14-7. Ensuing kickoff, Huntsville fumbles the ensuing kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
PNG recovers. Huntsville's defense stands on their head, pushes PNG back, pushes them out of field goal range. Third and long, Huntsville gets called for a 15-yard face mask. PNG kicks a field goal, goes up 17-7 at the half. So 10 basically free points that Huntsville gave PNG at the end of the first half. Huntsville fights their butts off to take the lead 21-17. Fourth quarter, PNG scores, makes 24-21, and that's what they'll do. Huntsville drives right back down. They get a first and the quarterback breaks a long run. First and 10 on the PNG 20, 2 minutes left, all the momentum on Huntsville's side. Back-to-back false starts, makes it first and 20.
Mm.
Third down, they throw a pass to get a first down right through the receiver's hands for an interception.
So,
Winning, PNG doesn't do that.
So
Huntsville's got to learn how to not do that to win those kind of games.
I think this is the highest. I think you'll understand the praise that I mean.
That was a little bit long, but I just wanted to get that context.
I like that.
I think you'll understand and appreciate the praise that I'm heaping on PNG when I say this. They remind me of Highland Park in the sense that they will pounce on your mistakes maybe better than any team in the state.
Yeah.
They will just, if you trip up, they're right there to make you pay for it.
And not only does PNG not beat themselves, but they take full advantage of your screw-ups.
Absolutely.
Maximum, and to a maximum degree.
Yes.
You know, if you screw up, they're going to pounce on you, and they're going to make you pay for it.
Absolutely. And it's I mean that as basically the highest compliment I can
offer. That's why they're 12-0 in one-score games under Jeff Joseph. Absolutely. You don't get to 12-0 in one-score games by not doing that.
Absolutely. Melissa, they lose to Lovejoy. Lovejoy's
got their number.
Their number. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it was a great game. Lovejoy kicks a field goal right at the end of the game. You know, I picked Melissa to win the game. I thought this was the year they would do it. Credit to Todd Dodge and Lovejoy. They got it done.
I'm telling you.
I just think Lovejoy has Melissa's number. So I'm not super concerned about Melissa.
Tell you, Lovejoy is getting better.
They're getting better. They moved into the state rankings this week.
Kilgore.
So I
let me tell you something. That's a
bad loss.
That's a bad
now,
loss.
Now Henderson is credit. Clay Baker has got his. He's back at his. He's at his alma mater. Mm. Clay Baker did great job at Price Carlisle, and look where Price Carlisle is right now. They're struggling. Clay Baker's done a great job. I think this is a year. I think most people thought Henderson was ready to kind of get back to being a good East Texas team. 2025.
Yeah.
Well, Henderson's 5-1 now, but they hadn't really had a win of consequence until. Then they hung on for dear life late.
Yes.
Henderson got up 24-0 early third quarter, and they had to hold off that moment. The Kilgore, the Raging Red got to Raging and tied it up, and then Henderson kicks a field goal late. I talked to noted East Texas alum Gabe Brooks from 24/7, who kind of said this. He was like, every year Kilgore kind of lays an egg like this. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is Kilgore's egg. We'll see. But I think what it does in 9-4A Division I is really muddles things up now because now you've got really five teams in the mix for four spots.
Let me tell you another one, and let me ask you, they did not drop out of the rankings. Stephenville. They go and they play Ruston, Louisiana. Now that is a big school in Louisiana.
Well, they're not as big as people think. Their enrollment's basically a 5A D. They got about 1,300 kids.
Okay.
But they're loaded.
Yeah.
They have like 12 D1s. They're loaded. They beat Longview.
Yeah.
They beat the hell out of Midland Legacy when they played.
They beat the hell out of Stephenville.
And they blew Stephenville away 60th. So I don't take too much of that. I mean, we did drop Stephenville a little bit just because they got blown out, but not super concerned that they got blown away. I'm going to take that one as Stephenville just played someone who's a lot better than them and that they won't. There's no one in 4A Division I close to Ruston.
Tatum.
No, I'm not too concerned. I mean, that's a really tough district now. Tatum may finish fourth in their district because that district's really good with Jefferson, Liberty Isle, and Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not super concerned losing on the road at Liberty Isle.
Rice Consolidated.
No, not concerned at all. That was a great
football game.
Well, I think the Raiders are back.
We ended up leaping East Bernard up to number two. in the 3A Division 1 or 3A Division 2 ranking. Because I think their resume right now, that's a signature win for them.
Yeah, it's a great win. Rice Consolidated is really good. I mean, I think we could have made a case that, you know, that Rice Consolidated should have remained in the rankings. Losing to East Bernard by 8, I think Rice Consolidated is just fine.
Canadian.
Concerned.
I'm concerned.
There's some red flags going off with Canadian right now. The tough schedule, yes, and I think the district, it's a good thing this year at Canadian, their district's probably not as strong. You know, Childress isn't as strong as they usually are. Spearman dropped down to 2A, who's usually a solid team. So the Canadian has a chance to get their wheels back on. Right now the wheels are off. They're just not playing Canadian football right now. And the problem is 3A Division 2, Region 1, across the board is probably better than it has been. There's more good teams in 3A Division 2, Region 1 than there has been. So concerned, especially come playoff time, because you got teams like, you know, Muleshoe, speaking of concerned, Muleshoe got beat, but Muleshoe still really good. Lubbock, Roosevelt, Idaloo, Wall. All teams
right now, if you're asking me who wins Region 1, I'm saying Wall.
All teams that look really good. So Region 1 in Division 2 and 3A is going to be tough. Yeah.
Anyway, those are all the teams that dropped out, and that's a little bit of Week 6 recap. It's now time for our Week 7 game draft. If this is your first episode of Tep and Step, welcome. Here's how it works. Step and I go back and forth selecting games we're most interested in. So that's the phrase that pays here. Mm-hmm. What games are we most interested in? So last week, for example, you could have taken
Fort Worth Western Hills 39, Fort Worth Diamond Hill 14, 39 to 14.
Damn, Diamond Hill.
Yeah, 39 to 14. Diamond Hill was competitive, but Western Hills got them. Exactly. Yeah.
And so this week, hypothetically.
Bye, China.
Bye, China.
China's the best.
She is the best. So
she's fired up about her Richardson Eagles.
I love China.
Yeah. She should be. And so if you wanted to this week select a game like
Plainview versus Wichita Falls Legacy.
You absolutely can. You can pick. All you gotta do is sell us on why you're interested in it.
Yeah.
We'll go five rounds back and forth selecting games we're most interested in. We'll round it all out with our hipster game of the week, and then we'll ask V&A what she wrote down. We'll see where Step's going, et cetera. All the fun stuff. So,
all the good things.
Coin flip for the show. Step won the coin flip, which means he gets what pick 1-1, and I I have no idea. I will say this. Okay, I know what game you're picking.
Sure.
If you don't.
I mean.
I know what game you're picking. I texted you this. It's funny that, like, there's this game, but outside of this game, in DFW, kind of a midweek, there's like one or two other kind of draftable games.
There are. There's a couple.
By DFW standards, week 7, you got to think outside. Think outside the bun, so to speak, I think.
Well, we'll Taco Bell reference there. Taco Bell, if you want to sponsor Tep and Step.
Anyway, Matt Step, go and take DeSoto and Taco Bell.
Yes, this is pretty obvious here. 7 o'clock Friday night at Eagle Stadium in DeSoto as the Duncanville Eagles, the number one team in the state.
Nope, try again.
Duncanville Panthers. Sorry.
Whoa.
I said Eagle Stadium, that's why.
Eagle Stadium. Let me tell you something.
If I said Duncanville Eagles, I'd get some nasty. Thank you for saving me.
I'm doing this to save your life.
Thank you. DeSoto people will be... I'd get a text from Coach Mathis. What the hell, Step? The Duncanville Panthers visiting the DeSoto Eagles. Duncanville, the number one team in Class 6A. DeSoto, the number four team in Class 6A. And you may think, well, DeSoto lost to North Crowley in week two. This game's lost a little bit of its luster. No, it hasn't.
Nope.
I know a little bit. It's going to be a sellout. It'll be a packed house. It's gonna be a crazy atmosphere. It's, you know, a lot of people think this is the best. I'm a little hyperbole, but you know, there's people saying it's the best game between two public schools in the country this year, and I think it's up there. I mean, you have two defending 6A state champions,
two-time defending state champions.
However, I think just as a overarching theme here, I think we saw peak Duncanville, peak DeSoto last year. I think those two teams had peaked. I don't think either one of these teams is quite right now. We're halfway through the season, quite as good as they were last year.
I think I can agree with you. I might use a different word. I might say that I think last year's teams were more complete.
Yes.
I think that there are parts of these teams, specifically for both of them, the receiver cores, that are perhaps even superior to last year.
Yeah, oh, Duncanville for sure.
But
their passing game is ridiculous.
But I would say from a complete ball club perspective, I think you're right. I think if you want to say neither of these teams are as complete as they were
last year.
They
both have big questions.
Yeah.
For Duncanville, let's talk about what's good. It's been the passing game. You've got a quarterback, Keelan Russell, five-star quarterback going to Alabama. five-star wide receiver DeCorian Moore going to Oregon. You've got.
Are they the only team in the country that can claim something like that? Like, I mean, they're
probably the only public school.
It's got to be a class that doesn't take long to call roll.
You've got, but you know, if people do this, they'll double Moore, but then you've got Ace and Theus, Zach Turner, Trenton Yancey. Like, Duncanville can throw out four Division I wide receivers. Yep. I think all four of those, the other three guys all have Division I offers as well. So they're loaded. However, the personality of Duncanville is way different. Reginald Sample's teams are usually very physical in the running game. They're very good on the offensive line. I don't think Duncanville's quite as good on the offensive line as they were a year ago, and they're definitely not running the ball quite as good as well. They're not running the ball well at all, really. And, yeah, you lose Caden Durham. I get it. Caden Durham, he's at LSU going off.
Yes.
But Duncanville's very reliant on the passing game. Mm-hmm. And it's they go as Keelan Russell goes, and so far he's gone great. But I think it's a lot easier to scheme a passing game versus scheming a running game.
Agreed.
Defensively. So the question, that's Duncanville. Duncanville's defense is fine. Again, I think they're good, but I don't think they're as good as they were last year. That defensive line, you don't have Colin Simmons. Colin Simmons was a game wrecker. They don't quite have that. Their secondary is still very good. They might be better in the secondary than last year, but the front seven just doesn't blow me away.
Yeah.
Let's talk about DeSoto. And I think their running game, DeSoto at the skill spots is elite. Their offense is a machine.
It's stupid.
You've got Tiger Ryden, Mice and Johnson Cook, where they can, Tiger Ryden, A&M commit, Mice and Johnson Cook, the sophomore who's a 200, I think he's listed at 225. He's probably like 240. He's a huge.
Lord.
And just is a bull back there. You've got Daylon Singleton, Booby Feaster out wide. You got a massive offensive line. You got a quarterback, Keldon Ryan, who is committed to Virginia Tech. And I think he is another dangerous, dangerous runner.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think DeSoto in the passing game is quite as strong as they were last year. Because you look at it, DJ Bailey had been in that system for 3 years. Mm-hmm. Knew the offense, knew the reads, was all muscle memory. Keldon Ryan just got there this spring. He doesn't have the experience. He doesn't have the muscle memory in the passing game. So it's been fits and starts for DeSoto's passing game.
I think I've been pretty clear about my feelings on DJ Bailey, and I think there's an argument to be made he's the best DeSoto quarterback of all time. And that's saying something.
They've had some great ones.
But as far as
a winner,
yeah. That's the word. He was a winner.
Yeah. Defensively, I don't think DeSoto is definitely not where they were last year.
No. That's clear from the numbers, but even just even if you say just, don't trust the numbers, just the eye test.
Yeah. They're not as good as they were defensively last year. So I think this is going to be a shootout.
But what's interesting to me is that I do think they have the single best defensive playmaker.
And Keelan Abrams.
Yes.
The TC. I think he's still coming to TCU?
The edge rusher. Yeah.
Yeah. And he didn't play the whole – he got kicked out of the North Crowley game, so that hurt a little bit. He missed – that impact. Not taking anything away from North Crowley, but I think it's notable.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is going to be an absolute shootout.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This game's going to come down to which defense can get a stop each – it was a shootout last year. What was the key last year? DeSoto converted a fake punt. They got an onside kick. They stole a couple of possessions. This game's going to come down to, can a defense get a stop, or can you steal a possession with a turnover or a wonky special teams play? DeSoto got him last year. Duncanville hadn't forgot. I think Duncanville is going to get him this year on the road. I just think Duncanville is a little more complete and a little more equipped to get that key stop late in the game. So give me Duncanville in a shootout.
I think that's a great point, and I think DeSoto's going to win.
All right.
I like DeSoto. I think that you're right. I think it's going to be a firefight, and I'm going to go with the team with the multiple ways to beat you. I think if you, and especially, I think that the key to this game is Jaquelin Armstrong, the running back for Duncanville. He's got to be over 100 yards. That's an arbitrary number, but what I mean is that he has to be an effective runner.
Yeah.
He has to be effective in slowing down the pass rush from DeSoto, which is going to pin their ears back.
Yeah, they're going to get to Russell.
If you just leave him back there and just say, all right, you're going to throw the ball 55 times, they're going
to
come
out. It's crazy to think that Reggie's – right. But Keelan Russell's – I think against South Oak Cliff, I think Russell had 51 dropbacks. He threw 45 passes, and then he had six either sacks or quarterback runs, scrambles, that kind of – That's crazy for a Reginald Samples is not an air raid guy.
Give that big baby the ball.
Yeah, he likes to run the football and get downhill and be physical. That's what Coach Samples teams,
that's
their personality.
That's his personality since time immemorial. Since he was at Lincoln, that's what they want to do. Mm-hmm. So I think if Duncanville can run the ball, they win the game. But there has been no sign they can run the ball. And that's why I think DeSoto is going to come up with a couple of stops just by, you know, pass rush and come up with a couple of plays. Now, I have big concerns about their defense. And Keldon Ryan has got to be sharp. Mm-hmm. But I think at home, I like DeSoto. Okay. Close one.
It's going to be a crazy atmosphere.
It's going to be a great atmosphere.
Fun environment Friday night. It's the game of the year in the state to this point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's like a big 6A game in DFW.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do exactly the same thing. 7 o'clock Friday night at Greyhound Stadium in Groover.
Oh, heck yeah. Let's go. Panhandle.
District 1-2A Division 2. So two teams. Boy, it's knowable how like a combined enrollment here of like under 250 for sure, right?
I would like the equivalent breakdown that you guys just had over Duncanville and DeSoto with this. Please.
We could do it. I'm fired up about this game.
I just took so many notes.
It is the Groover Greyhounds with an enrollment of 151, taking on the Stratford Elks, an enrollment of 165. So over 300. Booming.
Yeah, it's growing like
That's
crazy.
Less than one class at DeSoto, who is the smallest, the smaller of the two teams.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Groover has flown under the radar. I think in a big way. 6-0 to start the year, and the reason that they are 6-0 is pretty obvious, which is they're just scoring a lot.
Yeah.
They're just like, what if we just keep scoring and you just don't stop us? They're averaging 54 points a game.
That seems good. I mean, you know, Summer Creek had their bold strategy of allowing 0 points.
Yeah.
Groover just says, we'll just score 54.
What if we just score 54 times? 54 points every time. And I've been very impressed with them. They've scored 49 or more points in every one of their games. Think about that.
Yeah, that's impressive.
49 points in every game.
They've got a lot of playmakers, you know.
Briggs Satterfield, their quarterback, I think is very strong. Walker Maupin, their running back, has been very good.
His older sister was like a big-time basketball player.
Well,
Bailey Maupin, I think, is her name.
Yeah, because Groover's really good at basketball.
Yes, like, she was a...
Every year.
I think the guys up there give him hell because Walker, they say, oh, you're the second best athlete in your family because Bailey is like...
Well, it's tough.
It's a tough scene, but
like Haynes King's the same way.
Yeah.
Haynes King's the second best athlete in his family.
His sister's an awesome gymnast. So.
Yeah, anyway. Hi, Haynes.
You know who else is there? You remember Jalen Conyers?
I was just about to go there.
Remember him? Yeah.
Texas Tech's own Dax Conyers. Yeah. And he's lighting it up. He's been great.
And they have an offensive lineman, the son of the head coach, Smith, who's like 6'8", 340.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Groover, I'll tell
they
you.
They don't call him the mountain. They just call him the apartment complex. This is what I was told. I mean, he's massive.
God, I love it.
And you didn't think we'd talk about Groover and Stratford
DNA.
No, I did not.
I'll tell you this. Groover, if you want to talk about a program that, like, up and down in a big way. Because, like, you remember 2018, they play in a title game.
It's a state championship game,
Playing state championship. 2 years later, in 2020, they went 2-9.
Small town cycles. That's the classic 2A. You know, you get a great group come through, and you have a group maybe that is a little bit down. I think Groover had a class come through that didn't have a whole lot of boys in it. Mm-hmm. And we all know dudes rock. Dudes especially rock in football.
Absolutely.
So if you don't have a lot of boys in your class, it's tough to be competitive in football. Just it is.
But I'll tell you, the Groover has been terrific this year thanks to Kent Harbather, their Kurt Harbather, their coach.
Yeah.
Well,
he's done a great
– Kurt Harbather.
Oh, okay.
Coach Hab's done a great job.
Habather. I've
just call him Coach Hab.
Coach Hab.
You just call him Coach Hab, yeah. He's done a great job.
Well – I will just say this. If you want to knock Groover, they have a great win. Their best win of the year is over Stinnett, West Texas.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good win. That's their only loss of the year, West Texas.
Wait, you know what? The apartment complex is at Stinnett, West Texas, not Groover. Dang it.
Cancel the show.
Yeah, we're done. Sorry, the apartment complex is Coach Smith's son at West Texas.
So am I crossing out that note?
Yeah, go ahead. But it's still a good note.
It's still a great nickname. Yeah, it's just not for Groover. It's for Stinnett, West Texas.
Found a way past the apartment complex.
Yeah, sorry.
But I will tell you this, that if we're talking about apartments, the rent's coming due.
Oh, look at that segue. That's a pro, right? That is a pro. What a professional broadcaster.
Because Here comes Stratford.
Mm-hmm.
Stratford is a perfect example of, like, don't trust the record.
Sure.
Okay? They're 3-2, mm-hmm. but their losses are to Panhandle, who I think is still undefeated.
Yeah, they are.
And Sunray, who's definitely still undefeated.
Two really good Class 2A teams.
State-ranked 2A D1 teams. Of
them. Panhandle, Sunray later this year, that's going to be...
That's going to be tasty.
That'll probably make the game draft.
I bet it'll make the game draft. Stratford, I could go on and on about Bryce Braden. Dudrock.
He's awesome.
Dudrock. He's so good.
Both sides of the ball. Air Force commit.
I think, though, if you want to talk about why they're dangerous, it is because I think running back Julio Valdez has started to get going.
He's been hurt.
Yeah.
And he was hurt, and so getting him back, I think, because when he was out, I mean, Braden kind of started to get wore down a little bit because it was basically, let's just build the whole plane out of Bryce Braden. Mm-hmm. And as he's a monster. He's like 6'4", 230, mm-hmm. playing 2A football. But he's human, you know, and he can get hurt and he can get bumps and bruises. And I think having a lot of that on his shoulders wore him down. Getting Valdez back has been key for
Stratford.
Valdez has
been huge because it allows them to spread the wealth a little bit mm-hmm. around.
He's a great receiver out of the backfield, too.
The defense is also tightened up, and Valdez is playing both ways as well, so he's helpful there. I think that's the difference. I think that Groover's got the weaponry to go score for score with anybody, including Stratford. I just don't think Stratford lets it get there. I think that
they're more battle tested.
They're more battle tested. I think they're going to drag them into more of a street fight.
Is that game in Stratford or Groover?
Groover.
It's in, okay. So Stratford, they at Sam Bass Field, they're known for, you know, Stratford plays that physical kind of grinded out football. The rumor is they water the grass extra and get it extra thick, you know, and you know, I'm sure they don't do that, but I just think
this is going to be this is the game of like what style is this game? If this gets into a shootout, Groover's going to win the
Groover,
game.
Yeah.
But I just don't think that – I don't think Stratford lets it get there.
No.
I think this feels like a street fight, and Stratford's coming.
Drag him in the deep water and say, hey, come play our game.
Exactly,
and we're going to win 28-14.
That's exactly the scoreline.
That's a Stratford game
exactly
right there.
So I like Stratford and Groover. I think it's going to be a fun game and a real like heat check on newly ranked Groover. So interesting matchup. What's your second pick, Matt?
Are we not nerds or what, V&A?
Oh, you guys – our nerds. Right before I started this podcast, I was like, I need to put my nerd cap on.
That's right. That's right.
What's your second pick, Matthew?
We're going to stay small school.
It's a nice week after obviously like a more bare week in the small school.
A lot of bye weeks, yeah. We got a good week.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the Wichita Falls area.
Taking my game.
7 o'clock Friday night in Jacksboro at Tiger Stadium. Go get you a Herd's Burger pregame as Wichita Falls City View takes on Jacksboro in a state-ranked matchup to open district play.
When's the last time City View was the best team in Wichita Falls?
Are they? They're up there. Memorial's really good, too, though.
I think City View.
Yeah.
I mean,
Pound for pound. I think it's
pound
a strong case.
Yeah, I mean, Memorial's a 5A team.
So I think there's a strong case for it.
Yeah.
I think it's a strong case. And, you know, City View, their skill talent and their speed is going to present Jacksboro some problems. 2 weeks ago, City View took Childress. We just talked about Childress a little bit in reference to Stratford. Childress lost to City View 41-25 2 weeks ago. And City View ran up and down the field on them. That, you know, Malachi Williams, Keyshawn Perry kind of spur that City View running game. They do just enough defensively to get the job done. They're explosive. They will hit you with some big plays. Speaking of big plays, did you hear what Jacksboro's score was last week against Burke Burnett?
I did. They were a little, because they lost the week before.
They lost to Gymnet in a close one.
Yeah, lost to Gymnet.
They were a little angry, and our buddies at one of the TV stations in Wichita Falls decided to make it their local game of the week. And
not a ton of choices last week, to be honest.
True, like, I mean, true. Admittedly. Locally, especially.
Locally,
you know, their best game was probably Memorial and Paladuro, but it was in Amarillo. Mm-hmm. Boy, what a letdown in local TV, though, when you pick your game of the week and it ends up being 71-2.
Is that worse than losing 71-0?
I don't know. I saw that score come through, and I was like, "What?" And I watched the highlights, and they got a safety. They did.
Yeah, 71-2.
Burt Burnett got a safety.
71-2 feels more like
kind of a bit.
Yeah,
kind of a bit score.
Yeah,
it would have been a huge bit if like Burt Burnett would have like returned a 2-point PAT for
not a safety.
Yeah, but it was bad. Jacksboro forced 6 turnovers. They had 2 pick sixes in the game. Wyatt Gavitt, the quarterback, was just dropping dimes left and right. Our guy from State 7-on-7, Cannon Valenzuela, the Colorado State commit.
Dudrock.
He is a Dudes Rock candidate. He's invited to the Dudes Rock dinner, and he was rocking last week. He had a touchdown catch where he mossed a kid, and then had a pick six, and he had another interception as well. He had two interceptions. Mm-hmm. One of them went for a pick six. Cannon Valenzuela is a freak show. Like, playing 3A Division II ball, he's unbelievable. I think that's the key. I don't think City View has an answer for Cannon Valenzuela on either side of the ball. And I think with Wyatt Gavitt being able to get Valenzuela the ball, and then what's going to happen is City View is probably going to have to double him and pay a lot of attention. It's going to open up some of Jacksboro's other weapons because they have plenty of other guys who can hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the difference here. I think Jacksboro's play, they're a little more, they're the more battle-tested team. They've gone through a tough non-district schedule playing a lot of those good 3A opponents. City View, to their credit's 4-1, but they haven't played the kind of gauntlet that Jacksboro's gone through. And Jacksboro's been here before. Jacksboro was a regional finalist last year. They went 13-1 last year. They've been in these big games. This is a big game at home. I don't think in Jacksboro they're going to lose to City View. So give me the Jacksboro Tigers.
Yep.
Casey Hubbell's done it. When he got hired at Jacksboro, it was kind of like, okay, you know, he came over from Breckenridge. Mm-hmm. No one really. He's done a great job with this Jacksboro,
I mean,
program.
They were the team that gave. I think they played.
They gave Gunner a better game than anyone else.
Than anyone else, exactly, yeah. Like last year. And that's the thing that always sticks in my mind is that, like, they scored like 30 something points on Gunner when
49, yeah, 35 or something.
Yeah, when
like
nobody else had scored more than like 10. So like, I'm in on Jacksboro. I think I agree with you. I think Jacksboro's got the slight defensive edge in this one, and I think that's probably the difference.
Yeah.
Good pick. Next up, let's go to Central Texas for my second pick.
Okay.
And two kind of legacy programs that I think are in the middle of like reclamation projects.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you go down there and you go to the silos, and they do fixer-upper, right? Got two fixer-uppers going on here in Central Texas.
They do fixer-uppers. Yeah,
7 o'clock, Friday night.
The Magnolia Silos reference. Who would have thought
it? Wildcat Stadium.
My wife would be fired up about that.
Wildcat Stadium in Temple.
Blue front, white back.
The blue front, white back magic, Temple Wildcats. Mm-hmm. Welcome in the Hewitt Midway Panthers in a game that, if you had told me before the season, was going to be on the game draft, I would have said, like,
Temple went through the ringer last year. They struggled. It was a bad year for Temple.
And Midway, too. I mean, Midway coaching change, bringing it.
Hi, Brooke. I was like, Brooke. We had our boss.
I know. Good idea. So these are two programs that I think are on the bounce back right now. Like, Midway did make the playoffs last year, if I remember correctly.
They got it together late in the year. They actually, I think, had a share of the district title. Yeah. But they look good this year. Joe Gillespie's done a heck of a job.
He really has. He has put things together in a hurry. And what I appreciate about them is that, you know, this is a guy who was the defensive coordinator for TCU when they played the national championship.
That's correct.
A couple years ago. And they are playing good defense right
Yes,
now.
They're shocking, right?
Excellent defense right now. Yeah. They also have a quarterback named Cash Pullen. That rocks.
Cash does rock.
Does rock. And they have found a sophomore running back in Lathan Wizenton.
Yes.
Who's been excellent for them.
He has. To start the year. He's been very good.
Been very, very good for them. Temple, we talked about it in the offseason, about how it felt like we don't do, in high school football, we don't do hot seat stuff. Like, we don't.
No.
Because, I mean, these are public school teachers, and, like, we're not educators. We're not going to play that game. But we did talk about how 1-9 ain't going to cut it in Temple in there.
No, if you know high school football, you know how the Temple fan base is and how insane and crazy they can be. And Temple's a traditional winning program.
They are.
They don't go through 1-9 seasons very often. So you had to think, okay, they got to have a bounce-back year or there's going to be the grumbling, right? It's inevitable. Yeah. In a place like Temple, one school town, there are going to be some grumbling.
Well, and I'll tell you, Scott Stewart's putting it together.
They did a great. You know who their defensive coordinator is? Former Tyler Junior College head coach Thomas Rocco. He's done a good job with making some hires and getting some guys on staff. He's done a good job.
How do you know these things?
I am a JUCO.
You are JUCO step.
I am JUCO step. Sorry, Corey. I call ISO on JUCO.
Just calling out Corey Ho. Like, get good, Corey Ho.
Yeah.
The junior quarterback, Champ Mayo. You got a quarterback named Cash and a quarterback named Champ playing.
What a matchup.
This
what
rocks.
A matchup.
He's been very, very good. And then the guy we thought was going to be their is Orion Peoples, their running back. Mm-hmm. And he has been very, very strong to start the year as well. But most importantly, and I think the big problem for them is that their defense has just taken a big leap forward.
They're forcing turnovers.
Yeah,
I think the last two games they've forced 8 turnovers.
Yeah. They have been very, very good this year.
Nice win over San Antonio Reagan, non-district.
Both these teams, I think we're on back watch for both of them, mm-hmm. like as far as being back.
Sure.
You get a win in this one, certified.
Well, this is a big win because this could have some playoff seeding implications. Both these teams could be in the same division.
That's where I was going with this next, because when you take a look at District 12 6A, right, I think we feel pretty good about Harker Heights being
the team to beat
at or near the top of the table.
Sure.
I think the winner of this game, respectfully to Brian, is probably the chief challenger to Harker Heights.
Agreed. Right? Yeah, Midway lost to Harker Heights already. So
especially if Temple wins this game.
Yeah, I agree.
Then, like, you know, if you're Harker Heights, you're cheering for Midway because then it's like, okay, cool, like we're feeling really good about this district play. I like Temple at home. I think when they get good,
that place is tough.
And that place right off 35, which, by the way, okay. It gets rocking. It's a tough place to play. By the way, you know how it used to be such a pain in the rear end to drive through Waco? Mm. They just moved it south. Now it's a pain in the rear end to drive through Temple.
Yeah, because all the construction's in Temple now. Yeah, it's tough. Anyway, it's a tough scene.
That's a tough
one. First world problems.
Really.
V&A, I hope you wrote down blue front, white back. We will explain at the end of the show.
Yes.
I like Temple in a close one.
Okay.
We're going with Temple in a close one. But I think that's a fantastic game. And like I said, I think that high school football is better when these two legacy programs in Central Texas are hot.
We need good football in Super Syntex, as Craig Wade.
Big school.
Good big school football in Central. And I think we do have
Mart. You'll always have Cameron Yo's having a tough year, but you'll always have some of these programs in the small school ranks.
Waco, Killeen, Temple, Belton area. We need those teams. It's
those
good.
Teams to be
high school football is better when they're good.
Good for high school football. All right. What is your third pick, Matthew?
Greg Tepper. Yes, I'm going to go to 7 o'clock Friday night. At Orem Stadium in Alamo Heights.
My pick again. Almighty.
Greg Tepper, have you heard the good news about the Victoria West Warriors?
I have because I put them in my picks video.
So let me tell you, very surprisingly, Victoria West off to a really strong start at 6-0, 2-0. We're going to find out this week, though.
They are going to F around, and they're going to find out.
We're going to find out if Victoria West has got the juice this week because they go to Alamo Heights and take on the Alamo Heights Mules, third-ranked team in the state, 6-0, huge game in District 13, 5A Division 2, possibly for the district title, and I think possibly has some potential ramifications down the road for who's the favorite in Region 4.
Is it fair to say this? Because I was thinking about Alamo Heights a lot today. Is Alamo Heights the team that has been wire to wire a top 5 team in the state that we've talked about the least?
Probably. Because they haven't really had any games that have been...
Like, when they played Bernie in their district opener, that was like the first time we were like, oh, we'll kind of find something out about them.
Yeah.
You know?
And they beat them, but they, you know, Bernie did give them a game.
They farted around a little bit.
And, you know, credit to Bernie. I think Bernie is going to be right there with... I think there's 3 teams in this district who have separated themselves. And it's Victoria West, Bernie, and Alamo Heights.
Great.
You look at Victoria West last week, they're averaging almost 43 points a game, so their offense is cooking. You look at the score last week against Tyvee, and you look at that final of 45-26, it doesn't tell the whole story. Victoria West led this game 45-7 in the third quarter. Victoria West was up on Tyvee 45-7 third quarter, and they emptied the bench.
That's wild.
DJ Martinez, 2 touchdown passes, had a touchdown run.
Careful with your wording. Emptied the bench.
Oh, gosh.
You did it right, though.
Thank you. Thank you.
I didn't catch
Not
you.
A shock jock like, today. It's like, what did I say? It was 45-6, excuse me, in the third quarter. But they just cruised. They raced out to a big lead. They got a pick six early on in the game, forced a lot of turnovers. Their offense has been efficient. They've done a great job. Really impressed with the start they're off to. But the schedule, they've been on the good side of the schedule. Alma Heights, you look at them, and they've got the track record.
Yes.
Last week, no trouble against Harlandale, 55-9. Michael Terry had 111 yards from scrimmage. He 2 touchdown receptions. He put him at running back. He put him at receiver. He put him at wildcat quarterback. What let him return it? Kick. He's him and Jonah Williams.
I was
kind of
literally
two.
About to make that comparison of like Jonah Williams and Michael Terry.
Yeah.
You just watch him. You're just like, you're different. Like you look at him, you're like, you're just different.
You just play, you know, like. I remember last year, the best Michael Terry story I have is me and Mike Roach are sitting there at their playoff game against Piper in the third round of the Alamo Dome. and we're contemplating going to Taco Palenque post game. And then we're like, you know, it's the second quarter, and we're more about what we were going to order. There was no question where we were going. But we're in second quarter, and Michael Terry hadn't touched the ball at all. We're like, man, what is, like, I got to get Michael Terry the ball. And Piper's got the ball. I'm like, well, maybe on offense, you know, they'll put him in at running back and just get him some throw him a screen, get him some touches. No, he comes out on defense and just promptly, literally gets a pick six, like right then and there. And we're like, oh, there goes that dude. So he just makes plays. You could put him at any position, receiver, running back, quarterback, put him at corner, put him at safety, put him on the kick coverage team, put him on kick return. He can do it all.
So dangerous.
And they got a running game developed. DK Garza had 128 yards and four touchdowns last week against Harlandale. Now, again, Harlandale, the competition's not great. It's going to be a little tougher this week. Mm-hmm. But if Alamo Heights is getting other guys to step up and make plays where Michael Terry doesn't have to, like, carry the offense, it makes them really, really dangerous. The key in this game, for me, on the road, Victoria West has got to get off to a fast start.
Mm-hmm.
They can't come out and get down 10-0 or, you know, screw around and let Alamo Heights jump on them early. First 12 minutes of this game are huge. If Victoria West can hang in there, even if you're down 7-0, 7-3, that's okay.
13-7, yeah.
You're fine. Don't get run out of the building in the first quarter. Make Alamo Heights play four full quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Hang in there. I think as the game grows, Victoria West is going to build their confidence. Victoria West has gone toe-to-toe with some good teams in the past. You know, they've consistently given Corpus Christi Miller problems when they played in district play. They've gone against Corpus Christi veterans. They played in these big games. It's different being in Division II. You're going to San Antonio instead of Corpus, but I think Victoria West can hang in there. I still think Alamo Heights gets the win, but I think this is a competitive game wire to wire, and I think it says a lot about Victoria West as a potential team that we can watch out for come playoff time.
I agree pretty much entirely on that. I think Victoria West is – the defense is – opportunistic. The numbers aren't like spectacular. They're not blow you away numbers, but they make the plays at the moments, and they come up with the big splash plays. They're going to need that against. They need to be like +2 in the turnover margin to win this game.
Pull the upset.
Exactly right. But it's a big test, and it is. I mean, again, it's another data gathering opportunity for Alamo Heights, which is a team we just haven't seen have to punch within their weight class too often. You know what I mean? That's just the issue.
If Alamo Heights gets through this, they're probably going 10-0.
Yeah,
I mean, they've like already beat Bernie, so this is kind of their last big test.
All right, my third pick, Matthew. 7 o'clock? No, I'm sorry, 7:30 p.m.
Oh, late night.
Friday night. In the home of the glass bathroom.
Oh, yes.
Not at Gerald Prim Stadium. It's in
the glass bathroom is not at Gerald Prim Stadium, no.
But it's in the city square. Sulphur Springs, America.
We'll tell V&A that story next.
As the Sulphur Springs Wildcats at 5-0. Have you heard the good news?
Brandon Faircloth, his squad, is doing a great job.
Welcome in the number one team in the state, the Salina Bobcats. Sulphur Springs, you mentioned Brandon Faircloth. The official stance, Tep and Step, ball coach and dude.
Great coach.
Just unbelievable.
His opinions on Underwoods are a little sketchy, but that's okay.
That's fine.
Okay.
Nobody's perfect.
You know, well, he swears. I mean, the barbecue at Underwoods.
He likes that.
But he's from Brownwood, so he gets a pass.
But he's doing exceptional work at Sulphur Springs.
He is.
This is what they brought him in to build. Like, when they brought him in, this was the plan.
I mean, the year before he got there, they were 0-10.
Yeah. Now they're 5-0. And rolling, and they are, what I love about this Sulphur Springs team, the more I dig into it, is that they have a bunch of different ways they can beat you.
Mm-hmm.
They can throw the ball. They got a quarterback in Caden Mitchell who's been strong.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a couple of running backs, like two or three running backs, and they're all underclassmen.
They do.
By the way, Jackson Hare and Kaishan John and Deuce Hall, they can run the ball a bunch. And by the way, defense ain't bad. Defense comes to play.
And they have a receiver, I believe he's committed to Texas Tech, Skyler.
What's his name? Lewis. Skyler Lewis.
I believe he's committed to Texas Tech on the outside.
They've got complete.
Their offensive line is big, physical, and they're flat bellies.
Yeah.
They are athletic, big kids.
Look, Sulphur Springs got the juice. They're in the state rankings for the first time.
I went back and watched their entire game against Aubrey. Their last game against Aubrey, I went back and watched it wire to wire.
It's a really nice win, by the way.
Yes, on the road.
On the road. That's a decent little road trip.
Yeah.
And they went and they were the aggressor.
They pulled away in the second half. Yeah.
I mean, back-to-back wins over... I mean, I know Mount Pleasant is down, right? But that's a 5A team.
Yeah. And Mount Pleasant opened up district. That's a better win than you think. Why Mount Pleasant? It's a...
And then they beat Aubrey coming off an open date.
Yeah.
Well, here comes your opportunity to...
The ultimate measuring stick right
you
now.
You want to measure yourself. You measure yourself against the number one team in 4A Division I, Salina Bobcats. And, I mean, we've talked a lot about Salina for reasons that you can probably imagine. They just beat Aubrey last week. And they're... I mean, the word complete keeps coming back to mind.
They're a juggernaut right now.
Everything they're doing is working. And for all we talk about Franklin Gutierrez, their running back, and Harrison Williams.
Logan Gutierrez.
Why do I keep saying Franklin? Who's Franklin Gutierrez? I think I've said that twice now. Logan Gutierrez and Harrison Williams.
Gotta be a baseball player.
And the big
or
offensive line that tracks, probably like a former Rangers AA player. the thing about them is twofold. One, the defense is nasty. Mm. Nasty work. And two, brother, Bo Bentley, their quarterback.
He's been cooking with Crisco.
He is spinning it.
Yeah.
He is spinning it. And like, so you cannot load up against the run.
No, because
that's
he can
problem,
hurt you.
Because he will take, and it's not just every time I see highlights of him, it's just these 40-yard over-the-top bombs, and you're just going like,
guys are wide open because what am I supposed to do here? You're putting 8 guys in the box.
You have to.
Because Salina's offensive line is maybe the best in the state.
Right.
Like
pound for pound, absolutely.
It's right now, like today, October 7th, it'd be hard for me to pick anyone but Salina to win the 4A Division I state championship.
They look the part. Yeah. They look spectacular. If you are Sulphur Springs, love the trench matchup here.
Yes.
I love the trench matchup. If you're Sulphur Springs, you got to be able to run the ball. And I think you got to play ball control here.
Keep Salina's offense. I agree.
Keep them off the field. This feels like probably too much too soon for Sulphur Springs right now.
Mm-hmm.
But you get them at home. Get that stadium rocking.
Get them at home. You got 2 weeks to get ready for it. So you're going to have some tricks up your sleeve, some wrinkles that Salina hasn't seen.
And this is 7 games in 7 weeks for for Salina, and they've run a gauntlet. So jump on them early. That's the path. Jump on them early and just hold them at arm's length and
hang on for dear life. Run the clock out.
Yeah. I like Salina. I think you got to like Salina in this one.
Sure. Yeah. I think this is more about Sulphur Springs.
Yes.
They hang around, push Salina more than Salina's been pushed. I think because Sulphur Springs is an absolute legit contender in Region 2. This is kind of the measuring stick. You're not going to win the game, but play competitive, play close.
And if they win, we're going to party at the glass bathroom.
That's right.
That's great. What is your fourth pick, Matthew?
Trevor, I'm going to stay in East Texas. Okay. I go Friday night, 7 o'clock, at Bulldog Stadium in Tyler.
Yeah. I got a lot to say about this.
This game is interesting for many reasons. As the Kilgore Bulldogs at 4-2 and 1-1 in district play meet up with the Chapel Hill Bulldogs, 5-1, 2-0 in district play. And it is another edition of what, in my opinion, the last 4 years or so has turned into the best rivalry in East Texas. Mm-hmm. These two teams have played this is the 8th meeting since 2020 of these two teams.
Mm-hmm.
Chapel Hill has a 4-3 edge in the series. 3-0 in playoffs. Chapel Hill has been Kilgore's bugaboo in the playoffs the last 3 years. They beat them 3 straight years in the playoffs. Kilgore's 3-1 against Chapel Hill in the regular season. Kilgore, the only game Chapel Hill in the regular season won was the game I was at in 2022. Remember week 11 when it rained? Kilgore and Chapel Hill moved their game to Thursday, and I ended up going out there to that game. So that's the only time Chapel Hill's beaten Kilgore in the regular season. But for whatever reason, Chapel Hill's got their number in the playoffs. Where's Kilgore's head going to be going into this game after laying that egg for basically 2.5 quarters against Henderson last week?
I'm trying Henderson, to claw it back there at the end.
Yeah, Henderson gets out 24-0. Kilgore rallies to tie it up, and then Henderson breaks their heart with a field goal to win the game. There's been a couple of games like that where even against Pleasant Grove, Kilgore kind of screwed around. They ended up beating Pleasant Grove in overtime, but they were down late in that game too. When Kilgore's dialed in, they're among the best teams in the state. But there's inconsistency there. They haven't been consistent, and that's a concern. And I think that's something Coach Clint Fuller, I know, has been harping on all week. They have to be consistent. They can't have these ups and downs. They're not – Kilgore's really, really good, but they're not good enough where they sleepwalk they're going to win, especially in 9-4A Division I. They can't sleepwalk this week. I mean, quarterback Kaysen Brooks is great. He had 3 touchdown passes. But because they got down so much, they couldn't lean on the running game like they want to. So I think Kilgore's got to get off to a good start in this game and play Kilgore football. Getting down 24 to nothing, Kilgore has to get out of their personality, which is not what they want to do. They want to be physical. They want to run the football. Chapel Hill wasn't pretty last week. They knock off Palestine 28 to nothing. Demetrius Brisbane did not play. The Baylor committed quarterback did not play. I don't expect him to play this week. I probably won't see him for a little while. And Ricky Stewart did play. He battled on a little bit of an injury. He had 115 yards and a touchdown. But Chapel Hill, without Brisbane, is still struggling on the offensive side of the ball. I think that's they're going to go through growing pains. They have a young quarterback, played against Carthage. He played the game last week. You hope, if you're a Chapel Hill fan, that he gets that experience and is ready to go next year, but just kind of keep the ship afloat. Even at full strength, Kilgore matches up really. Even when Chapel Hill's got all their bullets, Kilgore's a tough matchup for him. Kilgore blew him out in the regular season last year. They went to Chapel Hill in the regular season, beat him bad. Chapel Hill got revenge in the playoffs in a really close game, but Kilgore matches up. They match up with Chapel Hill well. They're a tough matchup. They're a tough matchup for anyone. They're a tough matchup for Chapel Hill. I think we're gonna have full on Kilgore raging red bulldog, pissed off. Yeah. Mad football. And I think Chapel Hill is wounded. They're not at full strength. I think they're going to give him a fight, but I think Kilgore runs away with this one, honestly. I'll be surprised if...
Do you know what's so interesting is that the circumstances around this could be setting up for another situation where Kilgore wins in the regular season, and then they meet again in the playoffs.
Potentially.
It's like, yeah. Well, here we go. We
like got Jeff Reardon is just lining it up. You know, exactly right. Not that he's going to...
Roll your JV out there.
Yeah. But they're banged up. Chapel Hill doesn't have all their bullets right now. They're banged up. They got some guys that are out. Kilgore is relatively healthy, and they're mad. Yep. a lot of that lines up. And for Kilgore, you really need to win this game so you can kind of stay in that race, because now if you lose this game, now you're 1-2 with head-to-head losses to Henderson and Chapel Hill. You're really kind of up against it. So Kilgore, I think we're going to get a very strong effort from Kilgore this week.
I tend to think that you're right. Good pick. My fourth pick, Matthew. 7:30 p.m., Friday night, let's go... What county is this in? Let's go to Western Jefferson County.
Southeast Texas, yeah.
Hampshire, America.
Hampshire Finette.
As the Hampshire Finette Longhorns welcome in the Silsby Tigers in a tantalizing District 9-4A Division II opener.
Live on Texan Live.
How about that?
By the way, if you want to, maybe among the most entertaining announcers on Texan Live are the Silsby guys.
They are fun.
they are homers. They make no mistake about it. And
love that.
And I think they've worked in Critter into their broadcast, which is elite. If you work in Critter, you know, that's very Southeast Texas. Hudson Standish can get behind using the word Critter in a broadcast because he's from Liberty.
Shout out Liberty.
Yeah.
Liberty mentioned.
Critter.
Critter. You know what a Critter is, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you're from Lake Dallas. They got Critters in Lake Dallas.
Critter?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Critters, like an animal, like a mouse, oh, like a little, raccoon.
Oh, like critters? Yeah. We got critters out in our yard.
Yeah. You live close to the lake.
The show.
off the rails.
We have crawdads in the lake Louisville.
Let me tell you something about Hampshire Finette.
Hampshire, America.
I am fairly certain they are the only team in the country that has won a game 13-7 and lost a game 71-48.
That probably tracks, yeah.
I don't think there's any other team in America that can boast that.
Means they can play any style you want.
Week
yeah.
one and week two. I do think they've settled into what they probably are, which is a high-powered offense and a defense that's can make plays but is probably not going to go out there and wow and like dominate you. I will tell you that for Hampshire Finette, I mean, quarterback Ty Bryson.
Really good. He really impressed us in 7-on-7. I saw them a couple weeks ago against Fort Ben Crawford. Ty Bryson's he got that Dog at him award winner.
Yeah.
Congrats.
They're
enjoying that award, which is just a Twitter shout out.
Defense does appear to be rounding into form. They got playmakers like Malachi Adams who are very good. I think he had 3 picks last week.
Yeah, he's very good. Yeah.
He's very good.
CJ Larnett at wide receiver.
So there's Hampshire Finette. Silsby has got some dogs as well. Mm-hmm. Okay, Silsby has got playmakers all over the field, and you know if you remember, one of the questions we had, obviously the question for them was like, what does life look like without Draylen Miller? Well, turns out offense still pretty good. Mm-hmm. Michael Mosher, their quarterback, has been very, very good.
They've spreading it around pretty well.
He is, and but the, I mean, Caleb Johnson.
Yeah, he had a big game against Beaumont Westbrook,
yeah.
I think. Yeah,
and then Jaden Miller. They've been excellent on the outside. They can run the ball a little bit too. This team's just they're solid. I mean, they're. Yeah. But the name of the game in this one, in a District 948 Division 1 opener?
Division 2.
Division 2 opener? Is injuries.
Yes.
Because Silsby was just beat to holy hell before their open day last week.
Yes.
Just absolutely, just totally just...
A lot of bumps and bruises.
Decimated yeah. by injuries. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it showed, I mean, credit to Hitchcock, but I think if Silsby's at full strength, that's a lot yeah. more competitive and better game.
How healthy are they?
Sure. Had a week off. It helped. Came at the right time.
How healthy is Hampshire Finette? Because they are missing. We don't know what Chris Augustine, their star running back, their number one running back.
Yeah, he got hurt in the game I was at against Fort Ben Crawford. Didn't look great. I haven't heard an official word, but he hasn't played since then.
Yeah, so what's his status? Is he healthy? It's a fascinating ball game. It also, there's a, I don't know. I mean, that's a good district with them. West Orange Stark, which is rolling. I do not throw dirt on Jasper. That's a big game this week, Jasper and West Orange Stark.
It is.
I don't throw dirt on them. I think I lean to Hampshire Finette. I think
those are your four playoff teams, yes, but I think
but
you're fighting for playoff. You want to get that better seed and better positioning.
I lean to Hampshire Finette at home in a close one, mm-hmm. but a lot of it depends on like who's out there and who's healthy.
Sure.
Because that's just a big question mark there. All right, what is your fifth and final pick, Matthew?
We can go back out west. We're covering the gamut again.
We are.
We're heading out to the Lubbock area. Mm-hmm. Little Southwest Conference opener. 7 o'clock Friday night at People's Bank Stadium in Woolforth as the Midland Bulldogs at 4-1 take on the Friendship Tigers at 4-1. And these are two teams offensively that couldn't be more polar opposites.
Mm-hmm.
You got Midland High and their option offense, running the flex bone, grinding out yards on the ground. They might if Midland High throws five passes, it's something's wrong. They
panic.
Yeah, that means that things did not go well. And you got Friendship, who has two big-time Division I wide receivers and a quarterback who has multiple games where he's thrown six-plus touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Friendship is the complete opposite. They are going to throw it 50 times a game.
Yes, they will.
And that doesn't mean anything's wrong. It just means it's another game for Friendship. Mm-hmm. Midland actually did not have a bye last week. They were the only team in the district who played last week. They played Santa Luces, Florida. I don't know where Santa Luces, Florida is. I don't know how big they are. I don't know. I've never heard of them. But they came to Midland, and they got drilled. It was 56-31, and it really wasn't that close.
Just a moment on playing out-of-state teams. I get it. Like, I understand it, right? But, y'all, like, don't ask us to, like, analyze these games. Like, even the game where you're talking about with Stephenville and Ruston,
yeah.
It's like, I don't know.
I think we had a little more on Ruston because Ruston's played two other Texas teams.
Sure. Like, yeah. But there's nothing for – I can't triangulate anything
yeah.
off of that.
I got Midland's in a 16 district. They kind of had, you know, they kind of got caught in a bind where they didn't have any non-districts.
Sorry, V&A.
Small question.
Yeah.
Why?
Why do they play out of state teams?
Yes.
Sometimes it's that, like, you have a lot of teams, especially that want to come to Texas and play Texas high school football. They want to, like,
experience
the Friday Night Lights thing is like a real thing.
Especially in Midland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In Midland, they want to go out there and stuff like that. You also have these teams that are, like, they have trouble finding teams within their own, like, within their own state to want to play them, so they want to.
Duncanville and DeSoto play yeah. at least one out of
DeSoto
state game.
DeSoto played a game in like Washington a couple years ago.
Oregon, two years ago.
That happens. The other thing that happens, and especially with like the reason like Ruston, Louisiana plays teams from Texas, is that they're just close to Texas. Like it's not. It's a relatively. You're mm-hmm. either going to drive 3 hours within the state, or you're going to drive 2 hours out mm-hmm. of state.
Like the New Mexico, the El Paso teams play New Mexico games on a regular
basis. Teams in Texoma and the Panhandle play Oklahoma teams yeah. on the regular. It's not a big deal.
This game took place because Midland was one of the few 16 districts, mm-hmm. and it was either go to the Rio Grande Valley and play, mm-hmm. or somebody from out of state was willing to come and play yeah, at home.
Exactly.
So
right.
take the home game.
Is that a satisfactory answer?
Yes. Thanks for the info, guys.
Midland led this game 56-10 in the fourth quarter, put their backups in. You know, that's fine. Easy win. 56-31 doesn't tell the whole story there. Mm-hmm. Their running game, they ran for 444 yards. UTEP commit Elijah McCoy had four touchdown runs. Chris Lang Had two rushing touchdowns. Also caught a touchdown pass. Midland air Bulldogs.
The air raid.
Yeah, coming to Midland. And so Midland High has been great. Coach Thad Fortune has really done a nice job with that program. I think he has Midland High. I think this is a game with district title implications.
Mm-hmm.
Midland Legacy and Permian are going to have something to say about it, but these are two of the best teams in the district. Friendship, they were idle last week, so that's key.
Yes.
You play a team like Midland, that extra week of prep is huge because you get to work with your guys on the option assignments for two straight weeks. They've got two of the best receivers in West Texas. Leighton Stone, Texas Tech commit. Chase Campbell is not committed yet, but is one of the best top receivers in the state, regardless of region. He's awesome. He's going to be a Division I player. He's also a really good basketball player as well. Quarterback Holden Phillips. He's been up for Mr. Texas football at least once this year. He's been, I think, quarterback of the week once. 400 yards is kind of an average, normal day for him. He throws for 400 yards. You know, he walks into science class and he's thrown for 320 yards already in the third period. Like, that's just what he does.
Yep.
Now, they've been pretty good. Their one loss of the year was a really close game to a good Byron Nelson team. Mm-hmm. They lost by 2 points. They pushed Byron Nelson to the brink, probably felt like they should have won the game. They've been very good. They had a couple of blowout wins. Their last game a couple of weeks ago, a little bit puzzling. They beat Midland Christian 35-34. Mm-hmm. Midland Christian's a good private school team.
Traditionally pretty strong.
That also lost to Graham 24-0. So that was a little concerning if you're Friendship. Maybe Friendship didn't take the game very seriously. Maybe they sleptwalked through it. I don't know. It's a little concerning. But I'm going to chalk it up to as the last game of non-district against a private school. We'll see what happens. I think this is going to come down to who has the ball last. Yep. I don't know if there's going to be a whole lot of stops in this game, because Friendship, as good as they are offensively,
leaves a little something to be desired defensively.
And against Midland's offense, you may not – Midland may go on a 21-play drive on you and hold the ball for 10 minutes. So, fascinated contrast of styles here. District championship implications in a little Southwest Conference on the line. I'm going to go with Friendship at home.
Me too.
But this is going to be one to watch. I think there's a lot of points. It's going to be pointsy.
This will be pointsy. I think this is a fun game. And I think you're right. That's something that a real styles clash.
Yes,
is like you can see this game going a variety of different ways.
And I love those kind of games.
Yeah, my final pick, Matthew. Let's go. Where is this game? You're listening to live coverage of me making sure I know where this game is. Here,
Florida.
It's not in Florida. God Almighty! It's kind of wild that with the final pick of the draft, I'm going to get a matchup of top five teams.
Love it. It's a deeper week. It's a good week in the small school. Small school is really where it's at this week.
It's a 5A game. 7 o'clock Friday night at C.H. Collins Stadium in Denton.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. I just forgot about it because Denton Ryan got beat last week.
As the Richland Royals at 6-0, the number 4 team in the state, number 5 team in the state.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to our buddy Jake Kemp, Richland alum.
Take on the number 4 team in the state, the Denton Ryan Raiders, in a game that probably to host a playoff game.
Agree.
Yeah.
The winner of this game is probably going to get a playoff game at home. And I think seeding purposes, you know, it's this game. This may be the first of two meetings.
It could be.
I think they could easily meet in the playoffs as well.
We talked a lot about Ryan last week, so I want to focus on Richland here. They have been rolling under the radar, I think, just kind of bobbing along there at 6-0. And part of it is that they had that really good win against Colleyville Heritage in week
two. Yes.
Won by 20, really looked good. And since then, Denton.
Yeah.
Respectfully, they have played the non-playoff teams.
They played the lower tier teams.
Out of 3-5-81.
Yeah, agree.
And so, I mean, Denton, Brewer, Birdville, and Fossil Ridge. And they've treated them appropriately. They have dominated.
Yeah.
And quarterback Drew Cates, the son of Jed Cates, has been lights out.
Yeah. He's been senior year, coach's kid at quarterback. He's been great.
He's been really, really good. Got a bunch of receivers on the outside. They're loaded offensively.
Yes.
Defense probably not tested. And when they have been tested, frankly, they've kind of been touched up, which I think makes this really interesting for Denton Ryan coming off the loss to Aledo. We know the weaponry they've got. Quinn Hennigan, Braden Musset. They got to get that running game going. Nemo Warmade. Yeah. A lot of the things I said about the Aledo game, kind of repeat here. This comes down to two things. One, where's Ryan's head at? And how are they mentally coming off of what is going to be a pretty gutting week. I think.
They're going to hear it in social media. They're going to hear it in the hallways. They're going to hear it from guys like us that Ryan doesn't have what it takes. They're hearing it all week.
Absolutely.
You know, so.
The other thing for Richland is this is the game, I think probably the first game this year, where they're going to need to be balanced. And they're going to need that. And right now, we don't know what their running game looks like. Because Michael Turner, their star running back.
Baylor commit.
Is out for the year.
Correct.
What kind of running game can they get going?
Yeah.
Can they be multidimensional? This is like the real test for Richland. Like
you don't want to get one-dimensional against that Denton Ryan pass rush.
Absolutely
If you let their DNs pin their ears back, it's going to be a long night.
This is the real test for, like, this is final exam time for Richland.
Mm-hmm.
You've done everything right up to this point.
Yeah.
But right now, they've got Ryan and Alito in the span of 3 weeks. And then, by the way, unbeaten Azle.
Devin Doors is over here in Wise County going, hey, man, look at me.
We'll pay attention to us. I like Ryan to bounce back and get a win.
Can't let one game beat you twice.
But there's a real chance of that. I think Dave Hennigan and company are going to be able to refocus them and get them.
They've been around. They've won a lot of football games. This is state championship staff.
But Richland,
I think they will.
Richland's good enough to do it, though. They're fifth in the state for a reason.
Yes.
So I like Ryan and Richland as my fifth pick. So there's your week 7 game draft.
By the way, that game's live on Texan Live.
How about that? Your week 7 game draft step took Duncanville, DeSoto, City View, Jacksboro, Victoria West, Alamo Heights, Kilgore, Chapel Hill, and Friendship Midland. I took Groover, Stratford, Midway, Temple, Salina, Sulphur Springs, Hampshire, Finette, Silsby, and Richland and Ryan. That's a great wide.
Yeah, we didn't hit Houston this week. It's a little not as strong of a week in the Houston.
Not a great
area.
Week.
We got the Golden Triangle. I was trying to figure out what the best game in Houston was this week, and
I mean it's like probably Summer Creek and CE King.
Yeah,
but I think
Aldine Nimitz and Westfield.
Yeah,
maybe?
But I think I wonder if the Cinderella stories for Nimitz is going to end that week. This week. So anyway, it's now time for our hipster game of the week, where Steph and I select a game that's probably off your radar, but you should be paying attention to. Matt Steph, what is your hipster game of the week?
Go down to Atascosa County, home of Will Wilkerson, but not Pleasanton. We're going to Jerdanton as another team. Have you heard the good news on the Crystal City Javelinas?
How about Crystal City?
5-0, off to a great start, fresh off a 23-20 win over Carrizo Springs. They are visiting Jerdanton, and Jerdanton, I think they were the preseason pick to win 14-3A Division I by most. Jerdanton's off to a little bit of a slow start. They're 2-3. Are they vulnerable? Now, let's look at schedules.
Mm-hmm.
Jerdanton has clearly played the tougher schedule. I mean, I look at Crystal City's schedule, and their best win is probably over Uvalde by 5 points. Jerdanton at 2-3 lost to Caddo Mills in what a weird season opener that was. Jerdanton and Caddo Mills. Lost to Divine. They won a close one against Pleasanton. Lost a close one to Somerset. And that was kind of the game. They're like, okay, Jerdanton's going to be fine. They lost to Somerset by 8. I think they're going to be fine. They bounced back to close out non-district 2 weeks ago with a nice win over Floresville. It's a big game in 14-3A across the board is tough. You still got Hondo, Lytles at 4-1, San Antonio Cole on the Army base there is 3-2. Could have easily been 4-1 if they'd have beat Randolph, lost on the last play of the game. It's a good district. This is a key matchup, especially if I think Jerdanton's got the edge here. I think they're still the team to beat. But if you're Crystal City, you're fighting for one of those playoff spots. A win over Jerdanton would be a signature win and would stake their claim as possibly a real contender for the district championship. So this is a game I'm watching in Class 3A Division I as district play gets started. In my opinion, the best small school district top to bottom in the San Antonio area.
I think
the kind of greater San Antonio area there.
Absolutely. I think that you're probably right. That's a good pick, Matthew. I am going to go to Linn County.
I don't know where Linn County is.
7 o'clock, Friday night. Is that right, 7 o'clock? Make sure of this. 7 o'clock, Friday night in Tahoka.
Okay.
At Bulldog Stadium in Tahoka. Capacity 750.
The whole town will be there probably.
As the 4-1. Tahoka Bulldogs open District 3-2A Division II play, perhaps with a district title on the line, as they welcome in the unbeaten and state-ranked Eagles of Ropes.
Let's go. Ropesville.
Ropes at Tahoka is my hipster game of the week.
I like it. A little South Plains action for you.
This is classic, like...
Joey Maguire is fired up right now. Because Joey Maguire is a Tep and Step watcher, listener. He's
looking into tickets right now. I'll tell you this. Let me tell you about...
Tahoka Step.
The strength-on-strength matchup here is pretty clear.
Mm-hmm.
When Tahoka has the ball. Because their offense has been very good to start the year. The Bulldogs have. They got an outstanding running back in Jordan Martinez. Got a quarterback in Brogan Stone who can throw it a little bit. They got a bunch of running backs.
Introduce him to Braylon.
They're gonna run the ball.
Shout out Carter Yates.
What offense is Tahoka running? What a great question. According to Coach.
Coach Cody Bounds, right?
I believe that's correct.
I'm a sicko.
Cody Bounds.
Former Bonham head coach.
Says they're running the spread. Well, I'll just tell you this. They've run the ball 164 times against throwing it 76 times. So they're running the damn ball.
Twice as much as they throw it, yeah.
But this Ropes defense has been legit. It's the reason that they are here. Ropes has allowed just 35 points all year. They have been excellent defensively, Bo Riker's ball club. They're state-ranked and an opportunity to go out there. And in my opinion, these are the two best teams in the district. And the winner of this game is going to be the favorite here.
Yeah.
I like Ropes going on the road, but I think that two teams with a combined enrollment of... Oh, my God. This is knowable, and I don't have it. Two teams with a very small combined
282.
Enrollment.
Now, Ropes is growing. Ropes is kind of that...
Ropes got 161, and their town, Tahoka's got 169.
Yeah, Ropes is kind of on that edge. You know, they're south of New Home. New Home went up to Division One this year. Ropes is probably getting some of that overflow from Lubbock.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be surprised if Ropes went to Division One next line.
Tahoka and Ropes is my hipster game of the week.
Like
district title game and a district opener.
Big game.
And a state-ranked Ropes team. Yeah. So anyway, I like Ropes and Tahoka. Where are you going this week?
It's a shorter week this week for me because in 1 week, it is Canadian Thanksgiving. Mrs. Stepp and I are prepping for the Thanksgiving menu. For those wondering, Thanksgiving in Canada, the menu is pretty much the same as it is here.
Okay.
Mrs. Stepp's a great cook, so my diet will go to hell for a week.
Love it.
But that's okay. That's what Thanksgiving's for, right? So I'm leaving Saturday morning, so no Saturday game for me this week. Thursday night, me and Greg Powers are headed to Palestine as it's going to be a road trip. When Stepp and Powers get on the road, it's watch out. We're going to go to Palestine for Crockett and Palestine Westwood. Get a good look at Richard Bishop's ball club. John Denman, the TCU commit at running back.
Kavian
Bryant, the 2027 quarterback, who's one of the top players in the class. Crockett's very athletic, very tough. Should be a fun one Thursday night. Friday, I'm staying close to home because I got a 5 o'clock flight in the morning, so I'm not going to venture too far from the house. But I'm going to go down to Cleburne, heading to The Rock, Yellow Jacket Stadium, one of the classic WPA stadiums. You know, it's a stone stadium right downtown, right in the middle of town. It's a cool atmosphere. Cleburne is hosting the Tyler Lions.
Okay.
So get a look at Rashawn Woods Ball Club and check those guys out as they're making a long road trip from Tyler to Cleburne. So fired up for that. Got a restaurant recommendation in Cleburne, so we're good to go.
Nice.
And then Saturday I'll be on a plane to Toronto.
All right, so are we remote next week?
Yes. So yeah, for those wondering, yeah, Monday will be remote Tep and Step.
Don't worry, you'll still get it.
It may be a different format.
We just won't be sitting at the same desk.
VNA has to work
and
a little bit harder. VNA has to work a little bit harder,
or not work as hard at all.
Could be.
Let's go over to VNA Marino.
Yeah, we got some explaining to do
to close out.
Not you. We have explaining to do
to close out our show as we ask. Hey VNA, what'd you write down?
I wrote a lot of things down.
Look at that. Wow.
She actually does take notes.
She takes notes.
Look at this.
It's not a bit.
Oh, not that one.
Not that one.
But it's a lot. Anyways.
That was that note with my picture where she had like a line through it. You know? Like,
weird. Okay, so what'd you write down?
First of all, my very first note, Carter Mack equals an assassin.
He's an assassin. He looked awesome.
The Raging Red got to Raging.
Kilgore.
Steps number one pick equals Duncanville Eagles.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Sorry, Coach Mathis. And sorry, Coach Samples.
To America.
Yeah, really just apologize. I'd like to apologize to all my fans.
Yeah. I may never put on this headset again.
Well, I said bitch on the air. So I mean,
you said it again.
Watched yourself this time.
Thank you.
What if we just score 50 points every game?
Yeah, that's cool.
Along with right under that in small print, the rent is due.
Yeah.
I'll save this one for the very last. Home of the glass stadium.
No, glass bathroom.
Oh,
So in downtown Sulphur Springs, I need you to Google this.
Wait. This is attached to this. If they win, we're going to party at the glass bathroom. Yeah. Okay, yes. That one sounds better.
So in downtown Sulphur Springs, there's like a public restroom. It's a very nice public restroom that's made of glass. And so you can, if you're inside of the bathroom, you can look out. But if you're on the outside, it just looks like it's reflect. You can't see.
It's like the one-way glass.
Okay.
So if you're in there doing your business, it feels like everybody's looking, walking by and walking, but nobody can see inside. It's unique. You Google it. I have christened it.
I love it.
I christened it.
Call it that.
Well.
Okay, a couple more. I like this one. Texas nice Friday bathroom. Nights. Texas Friday Night Lights is a real thing.
It is.
I think I wrote this down correctly. He walked into science class with 300
yards. Yeah. Yeah. Holden fills at friendship. Yeah. He walks into science class third period. He's already thrown for 320.
And then lastly, you wanted me to write this one down and ask about it. Blue front, white back.
Yes. So Temple has the best pants in Texas high school football.
They are awesome. Google this too. Google images their pants.
They are. The front is blue. And then the back is white. And so it's like they look – the first time you see them, they look weird. And then you just watch them play. You're like, oh, wait, never mind. These are the best pants.
And they're awesome. They're the only team in Texas that has them. They're literally – their front are blue. Blue front. The saying in Temple is blue front, white back magic. Mm-hmm. Funny story about that. When Mike Spradlin got the Temple job, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago, he wanted to switch Temple to Under Armour. Temple was using a local – and they're using like Russell Athletic or something, and Russell was able to make these pants for them. Well, when he went to Temple and got the Temple job, he switched them over to Under Armour. Under Armour was like, we can't make these pants. And Spradlin's like, well, then I'm going to get fired if you can't make these pants or we're just not going to use you guys because we cannot. Mm-hmm. Like, the person who gets rid of blue front, white back, magic, and Temple is going to be fired before he coaches a football
game. That's exactly right.
It is a huge deal in Temple. It's tradition. And I think it's awesome. I think they're awesome.
They're really
good. When they played in the state championship a few years ago against Aledo, it was great. Blue front, white back pants.
Oh, I found a picture.
Yeah. Aren't they cool?
Are they great pants?
I'll probably put it up on the video.
Yeah, they're very cool. So it's a tradition. It's a unique thing about Texas. One of the many unique things about Texas high school football.
That
blue
is
front,
cool.
White back magic.
I like that.
That is going to do it for us.
Dope.
Thanks for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber, for watching for free until the end of this show. VNA, thanks for your service.
Thanks, V.
Thank you.
I'll miss you next week.
Yeah.
I'll miss you.
Yeah.
Steph, thanks for your courage.
Thanks.
Safe travels.
Yes.
Talk to you next week on Tep and Steph.
Bye.